And welcome along to another episode of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. This is Cheltenham Countdown Extra, and it is episode 3. Yes, indeed. I am joined by one of the great minds of the racing game, the full forward on the Junior B podcast team on the road to Cheltenham with the Nicotine 15. It's Frank Hickey. Frank, how are things?
I'm good, yeah. I never smoked, Tom. Never smoked. Now, so I wasn't one of those fellas having a fag at the sideline at halftime, like, do you know what I mean?
Okay.
No. I was pretty disciplined when it came to drinking as well. Well, that was basically because I couldn't drink and run at the same time. It couldn't be hungover, but I probably tried a little bit 18, 19 to 20, but after that, it was pretty obvious when I'd been on a night out, we'll just say that.
Okay, he couldn't mask it. Luckily for you, you spend most of your day sitting behind the desk these days, so we can run through some of the Cheltenham action together. This, of course, for people who haven't listened to last week's show, where were you? This is a spin-off. It's a spin-off to beat all spin-offs. Yes, myself and Frank are going to be nitpicking PK Rory and Rory DeLarge and Ruby Walsh's discussion on the Turner's Novice Chase and the Mayor's Hurdle, and giving our own unique twist of Frank Hickey to add into the mixture as we build up to the Cheltenham Festival with a bit of crack along the way. We're aiming for kind of 15, 20 minutes. Frank loves to talk. We're probably talking about 30 to 40, realistically.
We might keep it a bit briefer this week.
We'll try and keep it nice and snappy. But Frank, let's get straight into it without further ado. There's a bit of chat at the top of the lads' show. If Ruby could ride one horse at the Cheltenham Festival that was guaranteed to win in 2023, PK had to, you have to ask the simple questions, really. And Ruby was adamant it would be Constitution Hill. I think, Frank, possibly even at your current weight, you could ride Constitution Hill and still win. Would that be fair?
I'm not very good at riding.
We'll leave that one there.
I think the only thing that I wouldn't get in trouble with the animal cruelty brigade would probably be a camel or an elephant, to be fair. Anything smaller than that, and I'd be in trouble.
They had a quick chat about the weekend just gone as well. Energamine, lots of talk about the white fences. Was it made of Hames at the last? Edward Stone was the eye catcher and potential improver for Ruby. What did you think of the Clarence House?
Well, the white fences thing, anyway, the only word I'd use for that begins with B and ends with Alex. Absolute, I would think, nonsense, basically. Watching the race, obviously, I would be a massive fan of Energamine, but to my mind, he'd beaten fair and square. And it's funny when these races happen, we have to react very quickly in the antipost markets, and I was taking a very negative view of it, saying, look, Edward Stone's beat him fair and square, and I was looking to push him out as far as 5-1, maybe a massive overreaction on my behalf. The couple of lads in with me trading on Saturday as well were like, we wouldn't be so big, so I think we compromised in about 130. People were still happy enough to back that, and we were laying 5-2 this morning, back into 9-4. For me, I just don't think there's any excuse, and look, like, Edward Stone deserves to be favourite. I think what's going to happen is Edward Ajit is going to be underestimated again. I think the kind of consensus out of it is that Tom Cannon was riding to beat Energamine. Edward Ajit slipped him a little bit, and, you know, that won't happen come March. But Edward Ajit's after running two career bests back-to-back now at Kempton and Cheltenham. I just think it'd be dangerous to dismiss him. For me, I think Edward Stone's the most likely winner. We'll see what Blue Lord does this weekend. But I think I wouldn't be surprised if come the day you're getting 7, 8, 9, 10 to 1 Editor to Eat, and I'd be kind of going in definitely each way at that sort of price. And Energamine, I couldn't contemplate back him unless it was getting like at least 9-2, 5-1 off the back of that. Definitely couldn't.
Fair enough. The lads discussed the Turners and the Mayor's Hurdle. So we're going to kick things off with the Turner's Chase, and they kick things off by talking about kind of memories gone by of Turner's. I thought Ruby was very diplomatic by calling York Hill simply a challenge in quotation marks. Frank, would you be as diplomatic? He was obviously very talented in his day when he got it all together.
Yeah. I suppose the one I describe him would be the equine equivalent of me mentally around July, August 2021. look, he was an absolute headbanger, but unbelievably talented. And, you know, as he got a little bit older, maybe he became even more difficult. But look, he was very good in the turners and when he won it. And it was a massive day for us in the office, actually, one of the biggest ones where we took a really, really aggressive stance, keeping him on side and taking on the Nicky Henderson horse for Simon Muneer, whose name escapes me now, but it was a humongous swing. And I remember the relief when York Hill stuck it out. Yeah, he was a good horse for a spell, but yeah, never really got to maybe where he could have got to, though, you know.
This race was brought in as the kind of the middle distance division of the novice chasing. It was brought in 2011, Frank, and Rory DeLarghi reflected on kind of the race's introduction and reckons not many winners of it would have either kind of had the speed to win an Arkle or the stamina to win an RSA or Brown Advisory. So it has its place. Would you agree with that?
It does, yeah. Look, I suppose there's one way I would look at it is if you were to get rid of it, you would replace it with a 2.5 mile novice handicap with a ceiling of 140, 145. And that way you would force graded class horses into the Arkle or RSA. And look, if they were that dependent on the 2.5 mile trip, they always had Aintree and Fairy House, you know, to focus on. But look, we have it at the moment. And it's thrown up some good winners over the years. Look, I accept with the lads, there's not too many from obviously Vautour, an exception. You could argue Sam Crowe may have won the Arkle the year, put the kettle on one. I think they were the same year, weren't they? But yeah, look, there's no point in dwelling on that, I think.
Well, let's not dwell on it then. Let's look at the race at hand. The 2023 renewal of the Churners Novice Chase. As we record on Tuesday, the 31st of January, Mighty Potter tops the anti-post betting with Paddy Power. 3-1, 7-2, appreciate it. 7-1, Sir Gerhard, James de Burleigh is also 7s. El Fabiolo, 8-1, Stage Stars, 12s, Journey With Me, 14s, alongside Banbridge, 20-1, Dice of Dynamo, Flame Bearer, and it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. As with plenty of races that you'll preview in the run-up to Cheltenham, Frank, it's important to take Willie Mullins' record into account here. 9 wins of the race, absolutely incredible record. What are we making of Willie's potential runners here? Obviously, the bingo cards are at the ready for the next couple of weeks in terms of what's going to run where. Obviously, appreciate it has the highest profile. Could he show up here? And obviously, the caveat to our entire discussion is that we're, 4 days away from the Dublin Racing Festival? So that's going to have a huge impact on...
9 winners for Willie Mullins. I'm only getting 4 of the turners. Are you getting?
Sorry, yeah, but I just made that up.
Well, did you make it up? Did you?
I might have just made that up. Yeah,
I only counted 4: Sardis, Sean Fatour, Black Hercules, and York Hill.
No, that's confirmed. Made up. Yeah, fake news. fake news. I'd say that must be a typo in my notes, which is fantastic.
I was thinking a typo
in the stats. Yeah, go on anyway.
Anyway, look. Looking at the DRF entries, I think this appreciate it's going to run over 2 miles. So you imagine if he wins at the weekend, which he's favoured at the moment, he'll run the Arkle. If he gets beaten and he looks like, you know, staying on, he might go up and trip to the turners. It potentially opens the door then for maybe El Fabiolo stepping up and trip next weekend and stepping up and trip to the Arkle. To be honest, I think, look, you only have a very small sample going on their chase runs to date, but El Fabiolo didn't jump slickly enough to be an Arkle horse as far as I'm concerned, so maybe this trip it's suit him best. And appreciate jumping is fine, but it's still not like, you know, that electric 2 mile chaser type. I think personally he'll be better over further. Look, I could be proved completely wrong, but yeah, I'd be probably aiming the two of them at the tournament if they were mine. Like, you look at what else Willie has. He has Sir Gerhard off the back of just one chase dart at Goren last week. And look, it was a hairy enough moment at third. Look, the negative is it was a terrible mistake. The positive is he managed to find a way of standing up, and he didn't jump too bad after that, and he won very easily. It's a big ask to go and win off the back of one start. I know the lads were talking about it, and they can only recall one Well Chief winning the Arkle. I'm surprised Ruby didn't remember Western Warhorse. Nothing Champagne Fever off the back of just
wiped. Winning. It's wiped from his memory. Willie Mullins walked into it. It was like Men in Black there in the weigh room. Looked into Willie's little special little torch, and then
Well, was the other one. Look, it's rare. Look, he has the ability, but look again. Like, Willie seemed to be suggesting he might even go up to 3 miles, which would be fascinating. But yeah, you'd think experience might catch him out. Then you've got Kilcross, probably not good enough. Look, when he's gone up to grade one level, he's been found out, really. He was third behind Jerry Clom at Limerick over Christmas. Be surprised if he's good enough. James de Burley, I'd imagine he'll tie in with El Fabiolo. If El Fabiolo does end up in the Turners, he'll probably step up and trip to the Brown Advisor, you'd imagine. If El Fabiolo runs in the Arkle, then there's every chance he'd run here. Look, he narrowly beaten in two grade ones in France over 2 miles, 3 furlongs on soft ground. Tried the Champion Hurling stable debut, look, found that too lively for him altogether. Massive run when second to Classical Dream in a grade one stairs hurler, punched town when beaten 9 lengths. Look, had the season off, came back. Look, he was 1-4, I think, on chase debut, jumped well. Travel well, did everything right. He'd be a player if he ended up here, but you're just second guessing what Willie has, like what he's going to run here. Flame Bear, he's 2 miler. Look at the way he went. And then you've got Dicer Dynamo, another 2 miler, and Bron, the fashion. He won it last weekend. He's not good enough to win a grade one. He made really hard work of winning that race. So, like, to me, I'd be aiming appreciated here, but I suspect he might end up in the Arkle.
With a view to the Dublin Race Festival this weekend, I was fascinated by the point that Ruby made about comparing kind of the course and distance at Leopardstown. Obviously, the Irish Arkle, or the 2 mile chase track at Leopardstown, is over 2 mile and 1 furlong. And he made the point that horses that are kind of in command, turning in, but maybe are weakening at the finish in Leopardstown, they're the 2 milers at Cheltenham, because the 2 mile track in Cheltenham is just actually under 2 miles. Am I right in saying that, Frank?
Yeah, I think
kind of an extended 1 mile 7 or whatever. Yeah, and then he was saying the horses over the 2 mile chase track at Leopardstown who are staying on at the finish, they're the confirmed 2.5 mile horses. I just found that very interesting, and it was something that I'd never even considered before, that just to take into account the idiosyncrasies and slightly different trips and stuff at different tracks. Is that something that you would pay much heed to?
A little bit, but like, it's dependent too on how races are run, and you know, if the pace is strong, where the positions, there's a lot to factor into it. Like, look, if it's a case that, you know, they go at a strong pace and a horse is rattling home, you know, the last couple of furlongs at Leopardstown over 2 miles, one, you'd probably be thinking, yeah, they do need to step up around Cheltenham. But, you know, on the other side, if they go a crawl and it turns into a sprint, maybe they're fine sticking at the, you know, around the 2 mile trip. Look, it's, for me, it's hard enough to guess. Leave it up to the expert to decide where horses should run.
Mighty Potter Frank, Rory couldn't find a Drinmore winner who came across and won at Cheltenham. Is a kind of a cursed trial when it comes to the festival? And would you be concerned if the ground was to come up in any way kind of quickish for him?
I wouldn't be massively concerned. Sam Crow ran it. Do you remember when he fell with Fakir Dudery? Strap yourself in.
Yes. Yes.
Unfortunately, the jockey and Sam Crow didn't strap himself in. He was fired out about 2 seconds later, falling. But look, you know, sometimes, like, how many horses have had a go and not all of them end up here, etc. So I wouldn't be overly concerned with that. You can only take him on, you know, what he's actually done. And like, he's a grade one winner, a dual grade one winner over hurdles. He's a grade one winner over fences. I was very impressed with Fairy House. You know, he seemed relatively uncomplicated, jumped relatively well. I think he'd won one mistake. Where he pecked, was it one or two maybe? But overall, he jumped well, travelled well, and quickened away. And thought it was a relatively useful race. Like, obviously, you look at the horses that were in behind him. Gallagher McNeil's won a Grade One since. Adam Lee Chosen was second in the Grade One behind Jerry Clom at Limerick, and the Devil's Coachman won a Grade Three at the weekend, albeit in the stewards' room. So, like, the form has been franked, and I think he's the right favourite at this moment in time. Whether that it will change the weekend, there's every chance it will. But as things stand, he deserves to be favourite. He's achieved the most.
Banbridge, Rory DeLargy made a very compelling case for him to run in the Turners. Almost Rory, suspiciously like someone who's already backed him for the race. But he was very keen to see him here and thought he had better credentials for the Turners as opposed to the Arkell. And he's keen to be with him. Frank, could you see his point, and do you share his kind of optimism for Banbridge and the Turners?
Oh yeah, the way he jumps, he's a cracking horse. Look, the only thing about him is he is ground dependent. He's been impressive this season, and he was beaten in the Drinmore, but there was plenty of rain and the ground definitely turned soft after, before the race, and it definitely compromised his chance. You go back to Cheltenham, he jumped really well. Now, the one thing you would say about his win at Cheltenham, it was over the 2 miles, and people were like, he might run the Arkell, but it was a relatively soft race at the same time. Tommy's Oscar is a good horse, but he doesn't really act at Cheltenham. He needs a flat track to beat his very best. So what Banbridge actually achieved that day, I don't think it was that much. But what he did prove is he jumps really well and likes good ground. He's obviously a very impressive winner of the Martin Pipe last year, well off the mark. I think 137. I think this is the race for him myself. Look, he's obviously, as I said, ground dependent, but I would be far more keen on him here. Like, his jumping is fast, but I'm not sure like he'd be able to keep up with the likes of John Bonner and a couple of them over, short of 2 miles. So I would be with Rory here. I would be looking at the Turners for Banbridge, and he would be a definite player if he ended up here.
Irish market dominance here, Francis. But Rory had a kind word for Stage Star, albeit he did acknowledge that he's a long way off on figures. Is there any of the English horses that could figure here?
I don't know. I wouldn't say he's... I wouldn't be completely dismissive of him at all. Like, I was very dismissive of him going into the weekend, even off a mark of 142. I didn't think he was a Cheltenham horse, to be honest. I didn't think that was his type of trap, but I was really impressed with him. Again, pretty uncomplicated. Went out in the front two or three the whole way around, nearly made all, really. And I thought he jumped really well, travelled really well. I don't even think Harry Cobden had to hit him to win by 3.5 lengths. Look, that race isn't a great point or maybe to Grade Ones at the festival, but it's been a really strong guide to the festival over the years. Like, you go back through it, Imperial Alcazar won in 2021 off a mark of 144. He was second the plate off an 8-pound higher mark. Simply the Bets won it off 140 in 2020. He won the plate off 149. Kildasart won it in 2019 off 141. He was fourth in the Turners, obviously stepped up into Grade One company. Mr. Whitaker won it in 2018 off 129, won the Novices Handicap Chase off 8 pounds higher. You the likes of Generous Ransom won it third in the Novice Handicap Chase. Plenty of horses have gone on and run really well at the festival. And like, I don't know what the handicap is going to give him, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't get like 7 or 8 pounds at least to bring him up to 150. Like, how much does he have to improve? Probably not 7 or 8 pounds, but I don't think he was all out to do what he did on Saturday. And I definitely wouldn't underestimate him. We just know how good Paul Nicholls is turning these, good hurdlers into very good chasers. And like Stage Star won, albeit you could argue maybe not the strongest channel hurdle ever. He did win a Grade One over hurdles. And I wouldn't dismiss him at all. Definitely wouldn't. He surprised me now.
PK very poignantly posed the question to Ruby. He said, is the tide turning, in reference to kind of UK and Irish dominance? Obviously, PK, huge fan of the Prestbury Cup, huge Prestbury Cup guy. What's your general take on that? Is the tide turning? I don't know. I thought it was a bit of a... We're only kind of... It's 2 seasons ago where it was nearly whitewashed. Like, it's not exactly going to turn straight away, is it?
I don't know, but... First of all, who are the captains this year for the Prestbury Cup?
I have no idea. Hector surely is about again.
Hector again, yeah. Geez.
I have no idea.
Yeah, like, get some, yeah. you know, like, it should be some kind of competition, isn't it? Like, you know, a competition for someone to be the captains rather than just give it to Hector every year.
Like the Eurovision.
Yeah, exactly. Dustin. Give it to Dustin.
You'd be a good candidate, Frank. You'd be...
You know, me with competitions, though, I get very aggressive, like, you know? Like, England go away, win the Supreme, Arkel and the Ultimate, and next thing I'm getting stuck on the other captain. Do you know what I mean?
Very good.
I won't say it's turning, but it's definitely, some divisions are definitely lopsided. Like, you look here, novice chasing this season, it's very... there's no depth to the UK challenge at all. Like, they've got John Bonn and Boot Hill, two milers. Boot Hill's only a handicapper, really. The Turners, they've stage star, maybe lack the Constance, potentially. And then in the 3 mile division, they have the ridiculously sharp priced, the real whacker. We might get to that next week, but like, yeah, there's no real depth, like, there's no real depth in that division. But then there's others where they have, like, I can see them doing well in the handicaps this year again. And yeah, look, it's all cycles. It wasn't, you know, I remember when I got into Cheltenham first, like, you know, if Ireland had 3 or 4 winners, it was like an unbelievable success, do you know? Mm. And look, I don't think we'll ever go back to that stage where we're scraping a couple of winners. But look, I'm sure... people with lots of money in the UK will, you know, will start maybe buying those point-to-point horses and bring them over to Nicky, Paul Nichols, maybe some newer trainers and giving the Irish one for their money again. It's inevitable it's going to happen.
Surely is. Decision time for the Turners. Ruby was very keen to stress that Dublin Racing would reveal all, and he said, making a pick now is a form of lunacy. Appreciated as currently the best novice chaser in Willys by virtue of being 2 out of 2. In fairness to PK, he had to push him for something. So
he got that part.
Yeah.
Ruby wasn't overly happy with words being put in his mouth, was he?
No, Ruby doesn't like to be pushed. It's Ruby's way or no way. But yeah, in fairness to PK, he stuck at it.
Well, to be fair as well, if you're pricing up, Ruby be about 20s on to win that scrap, wouldn't he?
I think so. No disrespect. No disrespect to PK.
I'd be knocked out in the first round as well. I'd be all in, like.
Yeah. All or nothing.
Yeah, look, you know, there's certain races when you think there's a bit of a hole in them, and you think you have an edge, it's worth having a bet. If you look at this race, can you have an edge when you don't know exactly what race is going to run?
Well, before you reveal, I should also mention Rory de Largis, but we kind of leaned on it earlier. Bannbridge, the Dublin Race Festival was the watch out, but if he wants to back Bannbridge, but he'll just have to wait and see. But go on, Frank, give us your...
Bannbridge is going to run in the Arkle, isn't he, to DRS?
Yes.
So what you really want to see is him to maybe...
stay on and to kind of...
Well, like, even he'll be out prominent enough, you would have thought, and he's just maybe even... well, whether it be able to lay up with Dice or Dynamo, I doubt it. But like, once he's staying on second or third, that'd be all good. He'd definitely be on my shortlist, Bannbridge. I wouldn't be rushing to have a bet at this stage looking at it. Like, if you force me, I'd nearly take a chance on stage start, to be honest. I was, like, don't get me wrong, I was a massive pricey at Saturday relative to the SP. Big Rick for me, I just said, look, he's not a Cheltenham horse and I can't see him giving the weight away. To a few nice novices, but yeah, I was really taken. And even when you look at the time, I think it was around 3 seconds slower than Il Ridotto, but he carried a good stone more, I think, more than a stone than Il Ridotto, I think, off the top of my head. So yeah, it was a pretty decent performance. And look, if you force me to have a bet, I'd maybe have a few bob on stage start, but I think realistically it's one where you wait and see what happens to the DRF. And you'll have a much clearer picture of this race then. Like, potentially what could happen is Bannbridge gets beaten at the weekend, finishing second or third, gets pushed a bit for this. And then, you know, you're looking at potentially a dry enough lead up to Cheltenham. And then he becomes very interesting.
I think by the time PK had actually got the tips out of the lads, Ruby's back was fully up. I don't think he'd admit it, but I think his back was fully up. And PK... in fairness, and put his neck on the line and told Ruby Walsh to calm down. So if we don't see PK on next week's show, we'll know why.
That's about as dangerous as telling your missus to calm down in the middle of an argument. Like, do you know?
It never works.
It's like, what's funny is I was doing a bit of work prepping, watching it last night, and I just paused the video to go do something. And when I came back, I had this beautiful still of Ruby giving PK the death stare. It was amazing. Like, pure fluke that I caught it. But it was like, this is amazing. And for the listeners, I took a photograph and I sent it to you, Tom, and to Mark, the producer, just like, you know, the wide shot, then a zoom in on Ruby, and then a zoom in on Ruby's face, and he was not a happy man.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Bull daggers. Anyway, onwards we go to the Mayor's Hurdle. Looks a very decent renewal, Frank, and the lads were of the same opinion. They did mention Marie's Rockets, which to the stairs, which makes life tricky for Antipost punters. As we record again on the 31st of January, the Antipost market for the Mayor's Hurdle with Paddy Power 11-4 Marie's Rock, Love Envoy 7-2, alongside Brandy Love 4-1 Epitone, Echoes and Rain 6-1, 7-1 Honeysuckle, 10s She Wears It Well, 10 Tell Me Something Girl is 12-1, 14s Queen's Broken 20-1, and bigger the rest. Francis, Marie's Rock here or stairs? What do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if they take a chance in the stairs because it's pretty open. It would blow this race wide open because I think she's the one to beat if she takes her place here. Like, I thought her win last year was a bit of a fluke, you know. I just thought, oh, like, Tell Me Something Girls has been brought down by indefatigable Mrs. Miller was hampered, and you're looking back going, oh, I don't think she'd have won had that melee not happened at the second last. But in hindsight, I think she probably was a fair winner, and she's come out and backed it up at Punchestown. She's very good in the Rel Keel. Yeah, like, she's the one to beat if she takes her place, but I think she mightn't. And normally you're looking at angles. If you knew that she was definitely running the World Hurdle, or the Stairs Hurdle, sorry, yeah, probably wouldn't be the worst time to have a bet then in the Mayor's Hurdle, you know, because she's taken up a little bit of the market and it's not non-runner no bet yet as well. So yeah, you get a little bit of an edge here.
I think PK might have actually had a death wish yesterday because he proceeded to ask Ruby about Annie Power and Benny DeJew's falls and which was worse. And Ruby put a brave face on it, but like, you could tell that talking about Annie, that definitely, like, it was just a, like, he said, like, people keep bringing it up, but that must bug him so much. Like, the best national hunt jockey we've ever seen, and the punter in the street just goes, ah, fucking still fell off Annie Barrow, though, didn't he?
But like, look, I'm going to be a bit philosophical there for a moment, but like, life is full of disappointments relative to, you know, good achievements and highlights. But look, I think with Ruby, you don't let it define you. I don't think he let it define him. Like, even if you think about it, the abuse he got for that, but he was after riding Duvan Undas Own Fahin to win that day. And people still think Annie Power, what a dickhead, he jumped off Annie Power. You're like, well, if he hadn't rode the first three winners, you wouldn't have even had the fourth leg running, you know, for you. Like, and even to this day, I still hear people go, oh, Paddy Power paid him off. You're like, you know, those people are what I would call potholes. You do everything you can to avoid them.
And I admire PK for following that route of questioning, in fairness to him. Right, Epitant has been very, very good this season, Frank, I thought. I thought she looks to have her old zip. Rory DeLargy seems to think she's back on terms with herself. What have you made of her? Is she a player here?
Of course she's a player. Is she as good as she was when she won the Champion Hurdle? Maybe not, but I think it wasn't the best Champion Hurdle maybe ever she won. And look, she'd been running, like, even last year, she was probably, if she hadn't made a mistake at the last, she'd have probably run Honeysuckle to a length and a half. Look, she's won second Constitution Hill twice and won a Nothing Race in Donny. I think, you know, last year going to Punchestown, you thought, she'd be hard to beat here now back in the Mayors, and Marie's Rock beat her fair and square. And I just don't know why Epitone should reverse. Like, even if you think since Punchestown, for me, Marie's Rock has probably achieved more in winning that in Relkeel than Epitant had, you know, schooling around 20 lengths behind Constitution Hill. So yeah, I hope she runs in the mares as a supplement her, because I think she'll take up a big chunk of the market, but I wouldn't fancy her.
The lads briefly spoke about Honeysuckle. Obviously, she's due to run at the Dublin Racing Festival. They were generally of the opinion that it's very unlikely that she'll run in the mayor's hurdle. If she was to kind of show any bit of spark at Leopardstown and she runs well, it'll be champion hurdle or nothing. That generally seemed to be the opinion of Rory and Ruby. Frank, two questions. Firstly, her seasonal debut, are you as kind of pessimistic about it as the predominant opinion is would be? And secondly, is there any kind of scenario where you could see her running in mares, or is it shit or bust? It's the champion hurdler and nothing with Honeysuckle.
I'd say it's shit or bust, to be honest. Look, she's beaten by two good horses. I think it was a bit of an overreaction, but that was due to the fact she'd never been beaten before. Do you know what I mean? I think if she'd been beaten before, there wouldn't have been half the hullabaloo about it. You know, basically, oh, she's finished, she's gone. Look, she mightn't be as good as she was, but like, she was good for a very long time. You know, whether they want to, like, would it taint her legacy, shall we say, if she went to the mayors and got beaten? I think it might a little bit. Yeah, I think, like, see how she gets on at the weekend, but I'd be like champion hurdler or retire. Would be my.
Do you know what? When good horses get beaten and come back, I think it makes them even more popular, doesn't it? Like, the roof could be lifted off Leopardstown if she comes and wins.
Oh yeah, like, yeah, 100%. Like, you know, Statements look good and Vauban looks promising, but they still have to step up again, like, to beat her, you know. And yeah, she's every chance this weekend. You know, would I be backing her? No, but yeah, I'd watch the race with interest. I'd be surprised and probably a little disappointed if she runs the mayor's hurdle, Shannon.
Echoes and Rain, very good at Nace at the weekend, Frank. Still quite keen, like yourself, to get out of the bar. Like, is she flattered by the opposition there? Does she have a chance? Would you give her a shout?
Oh, and you know, I'm a massive fan of Echoes and Rain. I was convinced she was a champion hurdle horse going into last season.
I think Ruby and kind of Team Clissutton thought that for a while as well, didn't they? Like, the way they spoke about her, she's always been held in very high regard. She's just never quite been able to put it together at the highest level, has she?
Maybe not, but I think she's getting there. It's just the one that's learning. Like, I know you could say she's a bit keen, but like, she won over 2 miles, won on the flat of Galway off a high enough mark in that amateur handicap on the Monday night, isn't it? And then she's gone unbelievably close to winning a Cesaro, which worth an absolute ball of money, only nailed late by Waterville. So, like, she's rated 102 in the flat now. Like, so she's improving on the flat. Look, it wasn't missed by too many people, but she was running a huge race in Hatton's Grace. Patrick rode her, didn't he? And he hadn't asked her for everything at all. She was just creeping away out the back, tracking Classical Dream and Tihupu, and yeah, she took a nasty enough fall, two out, but you know, you could say she was definitely beaten. She'd run close enough to them, I think, and look, she was very good in Ace the weekend. What she have to beat? Probably not much, with Bob Allender disappointing again, but she could have done it any easier. And yeah, she's a big player. I think she's improved from last year. Like, she was beaten, what, 6.5 lengths in fifth last year. She's a better horse this year. Yeah, she'd be very interesting for me now. I think if Brandy Love doesn't get there, I wouldn't be surprised if she's Willie's number one.
That was my next question. Ruby gave an update on Brandy Love. I thought it was kind of lukewarm-ish, was it?
You'd always be worried when you haven't seen him at this stage. And I think the other thing you have to remember is, you know, people, oh, look, fair enough, he's got the likes of Penn Hill back to win first time out in the stairs. But like, you take the mayor's division, like, when Covega was winning it, there wasn't too many like high 140s type mares, you know, even 150-ish mares in, you know, against her, you know, so she had to come back and probably run to 150 and she was almost certain of winning. And I just think it's a bit of a deeper division now than what it was then. So, and Brandy Love hasn't that much experience either. Like, so, yeah, I'd be wanting to see her have a run myself before you'd even contemplate backing her.
PK mentioned that Harry Fry had said Love Envoy has the option of the champion hurdle.
Oh, yeah.
I would surely be, surely.
We'll dodge the mayors to run against Constitution Hill. That's what we do.
Surely she goes here, does she?
Oh, I'd be absolutely astounded. And by the way, No Fee's having some time of it with his horses, isn't he? The No Fee sure. Racing Club, they're flying it. But another fine West Cork man. Yeah, look, she's a player. She's improved with nearly every run. She's a very good winner of the Mayor's Novice last year. Second only to Brandy Love over 2.5 of Fairy House. Look, she won very impressively in her both starts at Sandown this year. She's versatile regards ground. She's versatile regards trip. Yeah, you definitely couldn't put a line through her. She's a definite player. Yeah, there's no negative with her, really.
Right, Frank, time for a decision. Ruby went with, Ruby gave a mention to She Wears Well and Tell Me Something Girl, as well as a few of those, but just went with Echoes and Rain. Rory, he said Epitante if he was pushed now, but would be interested if West Balboa, if she gets a run here. That was from left field, from Westfield even. Frank, what's your selection in the Mayor's Hurdle?
I'd be with Ruby here on Echoes and Rain. I think she's a better horse this year, and yeah, if she just if she settles any bit at all, I think she'd have a right chance. Yeah, I could see West Balboa. You could see the reason, like, obviously improved to win the Lanzarote, was it? Was it Lanzarote she won? She won a big handicap anyway. Kempton maybe wasn't Lanzarote. Or what? He was, yeah, it was
Lanzarote. No, it was, yeah.
Yeah. But she still has to improve again. Every chance she will, like, you know, she was second in that Shallow Hurdle, wasn't she? Stage star, so... yeah, she hasn't had too many goals. I might just be a little bit talking in my pocket because I think I backed her today at Sandown when she was second. And I was like, you know, thought she was a good thing in her first start in a handicap. But yeah, look, at a bigger price, I wouldn't put anyone off her. But for me, Echoes and Rain would be the one I'd be focusing on as well.
Lovely stuff. That concludes our look ahead to the Turners and the Mares Hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival. Frank, really enjoyed that. Thank you very much for your time.
No, we are a little bit snappier than last week as well.
A little bit. We're working on it. Congratulations. You're improving all the time. And I'd just like to congratulate Willie Mullins on the extra 5 wins in the Turner's Chase that I managed to award him with us there as well.
I know, the poor fella, like, it's in his, you know, he needs that confidence boost, like, you know.
And congratulations to you for listening. Don't forget, there is lots of racing content coming at you thick and fast on the new Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Link is in the show notes. Make sure you subscribe and keep an eye on all that video content coming your way in the run-up to the big spring festivals. Obviously, we've got the Dublin Racing Festival at the weekend. Plenty of podcasts coming out with the lads on Friday. Frank, are you involved in a few of those?
I think I'm doing a bit on Friday, looking at Sunday.
Oh, nice. Can you actually, before we sign off, give us one sneaky one, just want a name for the Dublin Racing Festival, handicaps preferably.
I had Max Flamingo for that 3-mile handicap hurdle on my radar.
Max Flamingo will take the prize now. Thanks very much, Frank. And thanks a million to Frank, and thanks to you for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Cheltenham Countdown Extra Podcast. But for now, I'm Tom Nugent, and that was another episode of the From the Horse's Mouth Cheltenham Countdown Extra Podcast, Junior B, 1915. Good luck.